Hello, and welcome to Strange Dominions, where we attempt to unlock the mysteries behind the unseen and unheard, unknown and unknowable. I am your host, Octavian Graves. First, I'd like to say thank you so much, patrons, for being here and supporting the show. We could not do Strange Dominions without your help. On tonight's episode, Ian and I speak with JD. Now, JD is a paranormal investigator, and he has had some really, really crazy experiences. JD is the owner and founder of JD's Paranormal Productions, New Era Paranormal, Altered State Paranormal Pioneers, and much, much more. We speak on shadow people, ghost box sessions, theory of ghosts and the paranormal, how magic can aid a ghost hunter in their work, and much, much more. If you have seen something strange or unusual, such as a cryptid, spirit, UFO, or anything in between, please send us an email at strangedominionspodcast@gmail.com. And if you would like to support the show and get extra content, you can become a patron. Our Patreon is starting at just $4 a month. You get extra episodes, ad-free episodes, merchandise, and the opportunity to be on the show. With all that being said, we bring you our interview with JD. All right, tonight, Ian and I are with J.D. Curry, owner and founder of New Era Paranormal Investigators. How are you doing, J.D.?
Good. How are you guys?
Very good.
Yeah, doing great. Glad to have you on here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, you have some stories for us. Now, before we get into that, do you want to tell us about New Era Paranormal Investigators, how that started and what that's all about?
So the New Era of Paranormal Investigators is a new group in the Western New York area where we're trying to get new people into the paranormal and get them opportunities to learn about different things in the community and do investigations at some of the most interesting places we have here in Western New York.
So you said Western New York. I'm pretty familiar with Western New York. I used to spend a lot of time there when I was younger, and some of that included some paranormal experiences and adventures. What, mind if I ask, what part of Western New York are you operating with? Like a Jamestown area or?
So we're trying to cover like all of Western New York from Buffalo to Rochester, like the majority of the Finger Lakes, just this general area. And there's a lot of history in this area too. So there's a lot of haunted places out here.
Definitely. I know that I spent a few evenings out on Lake Erie when a blizzard had come over, and just the atmosphere of upstate New York is peculiar, to say the least. It's a very old land. I guess we could start out. What got you into paranormal investigating? What set you off? What made you decide this was something you wanted to dedicate a part of your life to?
So it was kind of something that I used to, interact with my cousins. Like, it was a small thing for us to have adventures for when we were younger. And then we found the paranormal documentaries, and that's kind of the direction that I went. I didn't really have very many experiences when I was younger.
Okay. And so when you started to, you know, dig into this stuff, were you having experiences right away, or what was that like your first real experience with the unknown?
So the first time that I actually had an experience was at my grandparents' place in Lockport, New York, but it was kind of, I had very high imagination, and I happened to find the right place that was actually haunted. And I had an infrared camera, but my very first experience, I was at this house, and then I was sleeping in the living room, and they were sleeping in the actual bedroom for the house. And the radio turned on, and started playing in the middle of the night when nobody was in the room. And then with the infrared camera that I had, I actually caught an orb shooting out of the radio and going out of frame.
That's interesting.
It's one of the neatest orb videos I've captured, and the fact that something happened before the orb was actually captured definitely is an interesting piece to it.
And how old were you when this happened?
Either 13, 14, probably.
Now, would you say, have you ever had any other odd experiences with electronics in particular throughout your career or life?
Not when I wasn't trying to investigate, I guess. When I was investigating one time, though, I did have a normal flashlight turn on, like the flashlights that you find at. So what I had done is unthreaded so that the contacts weren't touching, so that it couldn't turn on. And I asked the spirit to turn it on, and it was able to turn it on. But this really wasn't just bought from a ghost hunter's store. Like, this was just a regular flashlight from somewhere for cheap.
So you're saying you actually disconnected the electronics, so physically it could not turn on its own. It was not connected to power. But, and then you asked, and you received a result, a response, where that it did actually go on. Now that is, you said it kind of lightly, but I find that's fascinating. Have you ever heard of anything like that happening before?
I mean, that's where the idea for the product had come from, but I'm not sure that a lot of people talk about having that experience without having the special flashlight that's made for that. So.
No, that's fair. Now, forgive me. I've done paranormal investigating throughout my life, but I'm not super savvy on the different equipment. Like, I haven't used a ton of it, and that's usually not my direction. So I'm super interested in all of it, and I know you could probably tell us more about the different equipment. Like, what sort of equipment do you prefer to use on your investigations? If you have any highlights, or what do you use?
So the piece of equipment that I like most would probably be the EDI, the data logger, because it's able to keep track of so many different variables at once, and also record these into a data sheet that we can look at, as opposed to just having the data in real time and not being able to analyze it.
Now, when you say data, what kind of data are you referring to?
So that device keeps track of temperature, pressure, humidity, a lot of environmental variables.
Okay, that's really cool. And I think that's probably really helpful to have all that, like, you know, in front of you. So when it comes to, like, the experiences you've had, what are some of the most notable that you've experienced while doing either doing your investigations or just out in regular life?
So one of my favorite experiences was at the Western Block location. It was recently featured for Death Walker, the series of Death Walker, but it is a very haunted location that has a good amount of history. I was on a tour, one of the first tours that they had there, I believe, because the location is fairly new. And when I went there, we were in the basement of the building that is on the corner of the Exchange Street and Market Street in Lockport, New York. When we were in the basement, the guests were actually sitting in a row of chairs against the wall, and the tour guides were sitting on, I believe, tables on the other side of the room. And then there was a row of chairs in between us. And at one point, well, we had shut all the lights off. And at one point, somebody's phone had lit up, one of the tour guides. And in the chair in front of me, a apparition had actually showed up. this was similar to a shadow figure, but it seemed to have a pattern instead of being a solid color. And it was the upper torso of the spirit. Granted, there's some people that might think that like shadow figures are all negative, but other than not expecting this to happen, I really don't think that this was a negative spirit. Just maybe that's the one way that it could come across to us.
We've had a couple people on the show who've talked about having very positive experiences with shadow people, so I'm definitely right there with you. I think that they have individual personalities, and they can choose to be just as helpful as they can be negative. So I absolutely identify with that. And when you say the pattern, can you elaborate a little bit on that? I mean, can you describe kind of what kind of pattern it was?
It almost seems like it just had dots with space in between them. Basically, the upper torso of a body, but just dots instead of being like a solid mass. And I don't think there was like an actual outline of the torso itself.
So you're almost describing like static as opposed to solidity. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, that might be what I saw as that static design.
And you were there. I'm just asking to get a handle on it, what you're describing. Well, that's interesting.
And how long did you see it for? Was it just a real quick flash, or was it there for any kind of considerable amount of time?
That was a quick flash that happened within seconds.
Okay, and did anyone else see it?
Am I allowed to go in depth about a program?
Sure.
That was produced there? Because basically in the Deathwalker series, there was a capture of something that was similar when it reached out to grab the tool that Nekrov was using during that moment where they captured the shadow figure, or the apparition.
And just so people who may not be aware, I don't know, what is Deathwalkers? I'm assuming it's a show?
Yeah, Deathwalker is a TV series that was produced by, well, featuring Nick Groff, and it was released on Filmrise and YouTube TV, well, YouTube.
Okay, cool. But yeah, sorry, please continue.
So there was also a video of a shadow figure being captured at the location that is fairly well posted on their social media, the group that runs it. So there's a lot of instances of shadow figures being seen there. Shadow figure might not be the best term to describe that, but like an apparition. Apparition kind of encapsulates a lot more.
Yeah, I prefer that term, but I mean, shadow people, I mean, that's definitely a useful term because there are these entities that are just pure black, and that is, you know, they look like living shadows. That's really cool. And so what are some of the other experiences you've had while being on investigations?
So at a different location in Angelica, New York, called the Allegheny County Poorhouse, the Pioneer Paranormal Society, which is another group that I actually started and ran for a few years at Alfred State College. We were doing an investigation at this location, and we were actually using a Ouija board, which Ouija boards often help to, help activity to happen. So we were using this in one of the larger rooms in that location, and I happened to see behind two club members. They were separated by a small distance, but not too small. A apparition come into focus behind the club member, well, one club member, and move to behind the other and vanish. this apparition actually became was in full detail, and it looked like a woman's spirit. I can't really remember the dress, like how the clothes that they were wearing looked, but it looked as if there was an actual woman that happened to walk behind them and just vanished after a few seconds.
Wow, okay.
So, just to break in a little theory crafting. Well, first, how long have you been investigating? Like, altogether? Or I should say, how long have you been invested in exploring the paranormal, whether as an investigator or an interest?
I've probably been exploring it just as an interest since 2013-ish. Formally, I've probably been doing it for 4 years.
Okay. So we were discussing, you know, shadow people and then female spirits. What's your, I always like to throw in a little theory asking for our guests. And we are a podcast that explores kind of the crossover between traditional paranormal phenomena and magic in the occult. So the occult has a lot, a more expansive view on the spirit world, so to speak. So what is your personal belief through experience on the different sorts of spirits that a person may encounter out in the wild, so to speak? Like, you'd have, you know, spirits of the deceased, ghosts, things like that. What's your personal opinion and belief on the different sorts of spirits that may in fact exist, and especially leading from your experience, what you've encountered on your investigations and your research?
So a lot of researchers have found that there's native spirits that are very strong, also referred to as elemental spirits. I believe that there is some bad spirits because there is good spirits, and I believe that it's equal in the amount that are out there. But as far as how they come across to people, I wouldn't be able to, like, I'm not sure really how to describe the difference between the different types of spirits. Maybe it has to do with where they're located, and some environments are better for them to show themselves as opposed to just interact or make noise or just interact with the equipment. Maybe it has to do with how young they are and they have more energy so they can do more. There's a lot of unknown to the paranormal, even though we've been working with it for a while. But the one thing that I would like to add is that a lot of parts of the community, a lot of different communities, have like spiritual elements to them. I'm part of a few different fraternities that acknowledge that there's, I'm part of the Freemasons. The Freemasons believe in God, and, well, not necessarily a specific God, but an afterlife.
They believe in, like, an architect of the universe, so to speak. Understand?
Just a lot of parts of our civilization acknowledge that there's an afterlife.
Ian and I are both practicing magicians, so we definitely acknowledge that as well. That is a big part of you know, what we work with. And that kind of brings me to a question: is when you are interacting with these spirits on investigations, what is the communication like? Is it ever full on conversations, or is it just, you know, little instances of words here and there? What is the level of contact you really have with these apparitions?
I believe that would be based on the amount of energy they're able to have access to and interact with us with. Because not even all the time do you see something or hear something. I don't often hear a lot of actual verbal communication, as in they just generate a noise from just whatever energy they have, and they don't use any equipment to make this noise. So an unknown or an EVP, but to the point where you're able to hear it.
Okay. And when it comes to some of the more, I guess we'll call them, out-of-the-box methods of, you know, contacting these beings and interacting with them, do you stick to just very strict, you know, traditional equipment like EVP recorders and things like that? Or do you ever incorporate any kind of esoteric things such as divination or any kind of magical aspects in your investigations?
So the groups that I've worked with, we allow anything like any tarot cards, this metaphysical end of it, to any really techie ways of communication. Like, there's not one specific way to do it better, and testing new things often helps.
Yeah,
hopefully
absolutely.
This is helping.
No, it is. I have a question for you then. So you said you've integrated, you have different fraternities and groups that you investigate with and are a part of. Now, you, I imagine you've worked with psychics and people who use, as you mentioned, tarot cards, and you talked about divination. Do you think there's a difference in the results you're getting, even if it's just kind of a vibe on it, between investigations where you are using purely or a majority of physical-based equipment, or when you incorporate more psychic or metaphysical aspects of your investigation? So I should say, like, if you're bringing in a psychic, do those investigations tend to go differently? Do you get different results than if you're just going in with, you know, EVP recorders and cameras or temperature monitors?
Each one has their place, and if they're used together, they help to, like, strengthen evidence or back things up to try to figure out what you're interacting with and why evidence is actually valid.
But like, what do you consider valid? Oh, go ahead, please.
A medium can come into a location and they can gather stuff, but when the evidence or when the equipment starts backing it up, that helps to strengthen the validity of what the medium got.
Of course. Now I almost interrupted you, but that comes to a good question. What do you personally as an investigator consider valid evidence versus evidence that you would have to not consider as much? Like, what's good evidence in your eyes?
So, I do like having the opportunity to work with mediums. I mean, obviously, you have to know them somewhat so that you can tell if they're going to make something up to try to cause entertainment, or if they're trying to do it to help the investigation, because every different person has different motives. I think that mediums are important, though, because often they will be able to get information faster, and then you can back up what they say by asking questions over the spirit box, doing yes or no questions with different pieces of equipment. So I believe, as far as the validity, if a medium says one thing in the spirit box, points towards that same thing, I feel that would be valid.
That's definitely fair, and I think that using both the what we'll call the material techniques, such as the equipment with the more spiritual techniques in tandem with each other, is a really, really good way of doing it and a way to push this subject further. One of the things that I've always had an issue with is we've been studying the paranormal for a very, very long time, and it doesn't really feel like we've been getting very far. And this goes across the entire board, from ghost hunting to Bigfoot investigations to UFO stuff. We just aren't really getting anywhere, and I think it's because we're using pretty much the same techniques that we always have. And I'm curious if you feel that the best way to get forward with this phenomena is by using these different techniques, or if it's not really in our grasp to get better, if it's just kind of, you know, we're just kind of wandering around in the dark and that's just how it is.
That I am not sure. I feel that we can one day get an answer. Maybe the technology is not at the point where we can use it for that. Up until recently, within the last couple of decades, I'm not sure that we've made equipment specifically for investigations, as opposed to taking the equipment from elsewhere and try to incorporate it into the paranormal. So maybe that would have an application on it.
Yeah, very much so. But, you know, going on, just I'd love to hear some more of your stories, some of your favorite accounts, and even include some of your favorite evidence that you've gathered.
So another good story that I have is actually the Guernsey Hollow Cemetery. It is the one location that actually was able to affect me. I'm not saying that I protect myself that well. I just usually haven't run into an issue with any spiritual attachment. This location is located within a state forest, within a small population area. I believe the reason why it might have affected me is because I like to take a story and see what evidence I can get to back up each part of the story. So the night actually started with me going up to the top, well, above the cemetery in the woods, there's supposed to be a cabin. So I try to go up with the group, which at that time I was working with Our Untold Stories, which is a documentary crew that's working on YouTube documentaries. But I went up to the top in the woods, try to find any evidence of like an actual foundation in case there was a stone foundation of a building. I did find rocks that were stacked in a way that it could have been a foundation without any like putty holding it together. I also found brick that might have been related to the building. But after that, the night pretty much comprised of different forms of the spirit coming across spirit board or spirit boxes. At least a spirit box, and asking me to go back up into the woods alone. And then after that, we started hearing a lot of voices just coming from not equipment, but just the environment calling for us or interacting with us. And then when we did the we tried to cleanse ourselves because everybody was getting affected by this. So when we were done with the investigation, we went back to the cars, tried to use sage to cleanse ourselves. And I don't remember what happened, but something made us all feel uncomfortable. And that might be the one location that I'm not sure that I would go back to.
Totally understandable. It sounds pretty harrowing.
It's definitely spooky and scary.
Just out of curiosity, when it comes to protecting yourself and cleansing yourself, have you looked into some older magical and spiritual techniques. I only ask that because that's a big part of ritual magic and a lot of different esoteric traditions. And it's a lot of those techniques have been used for thousands and thousands of years. And I'm wondering if maybe incorporating those in your post-investigations might be really helpful.
It probably would be helpful if I researched it and looked into it. It's new ideas from other people. So it would definitely be worth looking into and researching.
Yeah, absolutely. But so any other stories from that cemetery or just any stories in general?
I have visited the Greystone with that same crew, the Greystone Manor in Gasport, New York. And we were in the basement and heard running, like actual running footsteps on the first floor, the ground floor. We talked to the other people in the other group because it was two different groups, one in the basement, one upstairs. And apparently nobody was on that floor at that time. It was captured really well on the camera. It came out clear. The dogs, Sam and Dean from Supernatural is what they're named after. But
I love it. I am... absolutely a Supernatural fanboy, and I have zero regrets. That's also, you name the puppies that. You have to get a third one or a kitten and name it Pudding.
It's a great series, and the owner's a really great medium. She does a lot of work with all the mediumship work she does. But the dogs were upstairs with that second group, so as far as the footsteps, they're not explained, and they were captured really well, and I've posted them on my YouTube for the JD's Paranormal Productions. Hopefully there's not too many plugs in here for different stuff.
Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah, you can plug whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, plug it. We want our listeners to hear and check out what we get to hear and check out, and that includes like all the interesting podcasts and YouTube channels and books that we get on. So yeah, actually, if you want to tell us about the works you do, the different projects, now might be a good time. Like, what is it you've done now? Are you involved in podcasts too, I believe?
Yeah, so I've ran one podcast in the past called the Spooky Second Podcast, which I did with a paranormal club at Alfred State College named the Pioneer Paranormal Society. And right now I'm actively working on the Paranormal Pulse podcast with the New Era Paranormal Investigators, and we started that earlier this month.
You said it was Pulse?
Paranormal Pulse, yes, because a lot of the people we have on there have like dedicated their lives to the paranormal and their research for it. So like the Everyday Pulse, like they're really dedicated to it.
No, that's fair. That's really cool that you're doing that. Do you guys have a goal for Paranormal Pulse? Is there Is it to get people's voices out there, to let, you know, people tell their stories? You have like an overarching thing you'd like to do with it.
We do like new stuff that people are coming up with and new products that they're coming up with to paranormal news about upcoming documentaries. And then we're trying to help new people in the paranormal, like Patty Giglio will be coming up, and she's the owner of a new location here in New York that doesn't have a lot of, it isn't that well known yet. So we're just trying to help out and spread news.
No, that's good. It's commendable as well. So let me ask you a personal question related to your career in the paranormal. If you had to say there's one thing you'd like to add to humanity's understanding of the paranormal, to add to the paranormal community, like whether it be a discovery or, you know, adding proof to a phenomena that you're interested in or anything. But like, what mark would you like to leave if you had the opportunity to?
So a lot of my goals in the paranormal don't really have to do with proving the paranormal, rather using the study of paranormal to like more develop history. Like there's a lot of missing things in history that I feel that we can talk to spirits about to get what happened and get additional stories about what happened.
Now, see, that's interesting. That is very interesting. And I don't hear that a lot, but I think you're right. I think that's a really important. That's a way to look at it that's is good. Like what part of history, if you could use the paranormal to glean information or insight about, what part of history would you pick? Like what would you investigate into? What do you think spirits or the spirit world or the paranormal could give you for that?
My goal specifically in the paranormal would be to try to study the Aztec ruins and stuff similar to that. Granted, I would need a translator and so that we can try to speak with the spirits that had the old native tongue, but I believe that there's a lot of stories there that might not be the most documented because there is no written documents, and I'm not sure that there is verbal knowledge that was passed down or documented.
Oh yeah, and that's the same for a lot of cultures, especially in the Nordic regions. They didn't write anything down, so a lot of the practices and techniques that they would use for their spiritual things, we don't really have a historical reference for. It's a lot of a lot of the stuff that is done today are modern techniques that are inspired by what we do know. But yeah, as you said, they didn't write anything down, so it would be really interesting to get a spirit's perspective to fill in those missing parts. Now, that brings me to a question, and I've always wanted to ask a ghost hunter this. Now, in the magic world, when we talk about talking to ghosts and the spirits of dead people, we would consider that necromancy. And I'm curious if you would consider ghost hunting to be a modern form of necromancy, or if you see a distinction between that, because in necromancy, one of the things that we do is talk to ghosts to get information. And so I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
Is there a bigger description of necromancy, or is like not at all familiar with it? So
necromancy would
be something that I'm not sure about.
Oh, no, you're fine. Necromancy is, we consider that a tradition or type of magic that is primarily interacting with the human dead. And that can include everything from working with ancestors to going out into a graveyard and using a magical spell to summon the spirit of a deceased person to get information from them. You know, it's been a part of the practice going back to the dawn of humanity in some form or another. But primarily, especially when we're talking about medieval grimoires and magic in those realms, oftentimes people would summon the spirit of the deceased to get information, often to find buried treasure, find information on other people who are alive, or anything they could think of that that deceased person may have access to. So it's essentially summoning a spirit of a deceased person to get something out of them. Sometimes they'll give them an offering, sometimes they don't, but that's it in a nutshell. It's using magic to contact dead person to get information to do something with.
So as you can see, that's why I asked the question, is because there seems to be a lot of parallels between what people do magically with the dead and what ghost hunters do in haunted locations where they think that the spirits of the dead might be.
And I will say, your interest in the Aztec culture, kind of, there's still, like you said, a lot of holes that we don't know about. You could look into that with, and I'm not going to say I'm not super proficient in that part of it, but you know, ancestors, and I'm not going to say, I'm going to let you finish this because I want to hear what you had to say about it as well.
That idea definitely sounds like the idea that a lot of paranormal investigators have. Because even when you go to a location that's known to be haunted and most of the stories are known, you're still trying to ask about the same stories. But you're saying that the idea of necromancy is just speaking with a spirit and trying to get information. So I would definitely say that there are similarities between the two ideas.
All right, so what we do on this podcast is to try and find the connection between magic and the paranormal to see where they, what the correlations are, where they can intersect, how, and mainly how we can use magic to further the research of the paranormal. And one of the things that is done in magic is once we successfully contact a spirit, we will ask it for ways of contacting it further and get new techniques from the spirits themselves on how to talk to them and call them. And I think doing that in a paranormal context would be super helpful and make the contact a lot more fulfilling and easier. And it would give the spirit a way that they would want to be contacted, because we don't know if they like the spirit boxes or anything like that. And if we, you know, so I think that would be a really helpful technique in the paranormal.
Yeah, it would be helpful. I mean, that's kind of why we use different equipment, so that they can choose what is easier to communicate with and what they would rather communicate with.
Now, I'll ask you a question. Have you ever received verbal, whether from actual, like a verbal response from an apparition or from a spiritual source or through something like a spirit box or some other medium that actually conveyed a message to you from a spirit? Have you ever received that before on one of your investigations or an investigation you prefer to?
I have not experienced like having a full conversation at one time. Maybe
a full one, but you know, even if it's just like a snippet, a couple words, have you received that feedback? And I should say that made sense. That wasn't just like a single word, but something that made sense, or several, you know, sound bites that added up, turn into a message that seemed coherent enough that it seemed like, oh yes, this is a spirit that it sounds like it's trying to communicate a specific idea or concept to us. And I was just curious if you had, what it was, what you thought about it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's specifically things that maybe things that linked that came from different times and related based on one thing, as opposed to like just being a full statement. I believe that's what you're asking, right?
More or less. Just seeing if you had any feedback that you would consider like an intelligent communication of some sort that had meaning, like a paranormal source is giving you something there. Like that's, it's trying to tell me something, and it's something, not just like a blip. Or, you know what I mean? And no is an okay answer. I'm not trying to put you on the spot too much. I was just curious. It's something I'm always interested in hearing about people's feedback, because we're interested in the spirit side of things too, like what they are trying to convey, how they communicate, and what, you know, what they could be communicating as well. And, you know, paranormal investigators, you guys are the front lines of it. You know, I'd say that, you know, occultists do it. We can be very front lines with it. But the other side of that is, of course, the investigators. You're out there in the wild with equipment, you know, talking to spirits of whatever sorts. So it's always interesting to hear the results you get.
We're coming down to the last 15 minutes of the episode here. But one thing that I want to ask you is that, you know, in what we do as occultists and practitioners, we have a very animistic worldview. So there are many different kinds of spirits that include nature spirits, spirits of humans, fairies, and as you said, elementals. And I'm curious if on all your investigations, if you feel that you've been in contact with or interacted with any very clearly non-human spirits.
I wouldn't say that I've interacted with non-human spirits. I personally, The Guernsey Hollow Cemetery might have been something other than just a human spirit, because of the way that a lot of the evidence happened and the way that it affected me specifically. Also, this might be a little interesting for you guys, but I went to one paracon and the medium actually said that I had a family-oriented spiritual attachment that wasn't necessarily negative. It was just kind of passed down through the generations.
Okay, so like a hereditary type attachment.
That's really how cool. I was about to describe it, yeah.
That's really cool. That's a big thing within a lot of witchcraft circles is practices being handed down, and even spirits can be given to people of a family member. You know, as someone of an older generation who's worked with a spirit for a long time can have that spirit then follow you know, a grandson or a granddaughter or anything like that, and have that spirit kind of follow down the family tree. It's a very kind of anecdotal thing. There's not a lot of you know, hard evidence for that, even in the occult, but it is a concept, and there are plenty of people who delve pretty deep into that. When we talk about spirits and, you know, investigations, a lot of times on the TV shows you will see teams using like toys or items that may have been with the deceased in life. And I'm curious if you and your team have ever used that, and if you've gotten any results from that.
I believe that I personally have an issue with like memory, but I believe that we would have used like child oriented objects. And there is objects that can be taken in a way that it's more appealing to children, like a cat ball might be more appealing to a child spirit. We don't have any specially built equipment that is supposed to be for children spirit, but it does help because it relates personally to the spirit. And it might be something that they feel more comfortable with, as opposed to just some piece of equipment that looks like it's sci-fi high-tech and might be a little strange for them to interact with.
Yeah, absolutely. Going on that lines, one more question. In the occult and in magic, when it comes to spirits, one thing that we like to do is we burn incense. And there are kinds of incenses that are specifically said to help, you know, spirits manifest, or that spirits like a lot. And so when you burn it, you're likely to have a spiritual activity because they're attracted to the scent. And I'm curious if you've ever experimented with certain scents or perfumes or even incense in your investigations, or if that's something you're open to.
That might actually go along the same line of being like familiar to a spirit so that it's more comfortable. But I also feel that would be applicable because as opposed to just the place not being that welcoming, just run down and smells bad, I'm assuming that if a spirit does have senses, which we believe that it's electricity, so maybe it's still able to respond to senses or have a sense, that it would maybe just like the scent and come in to interact with people because it smells nice and is a change from what they're used to.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, absolutely. Now, before we go, is there any other stories that you want to share with us and with our listeners? Like any notable investigations or experiences that you've had?
I have said quite a few of my top like experiences. I guess I might turn that question this way, that we're going to a really famous location here soon. It's known for shadow figures, and seeing I've already seen shadow figures, I'm curious if we're going to have any interaction like that, and what this very well-known hotspot in Western New York will have for us have waiting for us?
Well, we are excited to hear about it. I know, as I said earlier, I used to spend some time up in upstate New York, and I can't say I've ever been on an official investigation, but there were certainly some spots that we went to, we investigated, we spent time in that had a very, very deep paranormal or supernatural tone to them. And I know we found a cemetery once, and I couldn't tell you the name of it, but it was up in the hills in the woods. It was somewhere out of Jamestown, between Jamestown and Buffalo.
That might be the same place that I was having issues at. Well, having more negative experience.
I remember the notable thing that I remember. It was like way back behind the cemetery, up on this hill. It was like this huge, massive stone chair. It's the only way I can put it. And I don't know if it was, it wasn't like a statue that somebody carved this chair. It was almost like rocks that took the form of this huge, massive, giant chair. And it was a surreal place. Now, given this was, oh man, almost 20 years ago. So beyond that, I can't add any more, but it's the area that you're operating in has always been and will always be, in my mind, a hot spot. A surreal landscape. And I know that there's is it Casadaga Valley? Which is, you'd know more about. Is it that? Yeah, probably butchered the name, but and there's a big lore for that, from what I understand. There's a huge history with the spiritualist and psychic and kind of occult communities that came out of that. And do you know anything about that?
Lilydale is down in that area, mm-hmm. so that might be related. I'm not specifically, I haven't heard references specifically to Casadaigua, but
I know it's
there's a lot of different cultures, and there was Native Americans here, and there was a lot of Underground Railroad, and there's a lot mm-hmm. of different history, war-related history, just a lot of history in this area.
You're not wrong about that. And I mean, I'm not incredibly educated on the area's history more than some people would be, or as much as some people would be. But I know that the spiritualist movement got its start in that area, I believe in that valley specifically. And a tidbit for you and for our listeners that I came across, that some of the founders, might be misquoting, but some of the founders are key figures in that. One point moved, like an entire congregation or a group of them had moved to Florida and founded the town of, I believe, Casadaigua, Florida. And that is to this day a town entirely filled with, like, the entire population is psychics and witches and mediums. And I visited there a few years ago. And because upstate was such a part of my personal past, you know, with friends and old partners, I was driving through the area and I was in the mind to do paranormal exploration. And then it's one of those moments where I'm just driving down the road and I see the sign for it. And I'm like, that name sounds familiar. And so we turn in and I'm like, I've heard of this place. And then I did the research when I was there and I realized I was like, I explored the original place in New York. And now I'm here where they went. And it was just a weird, synchronous, and coincidental thing. And just for our listeners who are interested in paying attention to your investigations and exploring upstate New York and what it has to offer, you're right. You are. I think everybody should tune in and see what you guys are going to come up with in your further projects and your further work, because I'm always interested to hear about it. And I know our listeners will be as well. But,
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so before we go, where can people find you and all your information?
So me specifically on Instagram, I have an account named JD's Paranormal Productions, and I post about what the club is still doing and what my new group, the New Era Paranormal Investigators, is doing. So that would probably be the best place to start, because I link to a lot of different accounts.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I will definitely put all of that in the information below for this episode. Any more information or anything you want to say to anyone before we take off?
Just thank you guys for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure, truly.
It's absolutely a pleasure to have you on, and we hope to hear from you again. If you find anything of note, if there's any stories that you want to tell or investigations you do that impress you, then please send it to us, and we'd love to bring it up so our listeners can remain updated on what you guys are up to. But thank you for having you. It's great to meet you.
And if you ever want some magicians on your investigations, please let us know. We'll be right up there.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, we'll bring our sorcerers up there. Glad.
All right, JD. Well, you have a great night. Thank you again for coming on.
You guys too. Night.
Night. That was our interview with JD. We really liked having him on, and we loved hearing his stories. All of his links will be in the description below. Again, thank you all for being here, and we will see you again on the Strange Dominions.